February 27th, no. Shamrani Bibi, Manila.
I was just talking about the DJ. Because Jagannath is not different from his picture. So you could say this is like a deity. So when you have bead bags, the bead bag is all crumpled up, and sometimes it gets dirty, and then you wash it like this. So it's like having a deity almost, and then doing all that. So by not having the bead bag, we become more conscious of when we see Jagannath to be, you know, to act in a respectful way. Everybody's respectful, but to act in a way that helps us advance. Same thing with Harinam Chatters. The holy name, spoken or written, is non-different from Krishna himself. And then the Harinam Chatters generally have pictures of Radha and Krishna. And then they get all scrunched up, and then we sit on them, and then we have to wash them and throw them in the sudsy water and things like that. So it's better to have plain white chatters rather than Harinam chatters. Then yes?
Why is embroidered japa bag?
What?
Why is embroidered japa bag or not allowed to use them?
Embroidered, you mean embroidered with the pictures?
No, not picture, but some other design.
It's better to have a plain white bead bag. Gurudev explained that the white represents the purity. So it helps to remember the purity needed for chanting, the pure atmosphere and things like that. Also the bead bag, and if anybody needs a white bead bag, Vasanti has them. How many do you have left? Two left.
One.
Okay.
She gave it to me.
Oh, Yadanath Prabhu has it. And if anybody in the future, your neck beads break, Yadanath Prabhu has neck beads. He also has japa beads if anybody loses their japa beads. But whenever anybody loses their japa beads and they approach Gurudev for new japa beads, he always gets mad at them. But if somehow or other, out of our control, we lose them, so Yadanath Prabhu has more. Did you get the new japa beads, Ramananda Prabhu? You have the regular Gaudiya japa beads? Oh, you have? Great. Okay. Okay. All right, and the next subject. You know, I was fighting with my mind whether I should mention all these things. So I'm not mentioning them as a criticism to anybody, but it's just to give you information so that you have the option when you're making your choice. You have the knowledge option to consider when making the choice of what to do. So then the next subject is Sikhas. I'm going to read some things that Prabhupada said about Sikhas, and what Gurudev said also. That tuft of hair, that when you shave, this piece remains. First I'll read what Gurudev said, and then the devotees who are initiated, if you don't already have Sikha, you can arrange, any of the other devotees can show you how to develop the Sikha. It's not just like a ritual, it's really important, and I'll show you why. There was this young lady reporter in Perth, Australia. She was interviewing Gurudev, and she said, she was very cute, she always giggled when she was asking her questions. She said, okay, now the haircuts. I thought my haircut was short. Her hair was like very short. It was like, not quite like mine, maybe like Govinda's. And she was
Chaitanya?
Chaitanya? No longer. It was like in between Chaitanya's and Govinda's. And she was a very cute, pretty lady, but she had short hair. So she says, I thought my haircut was short. All of my friends make fun of my short hair. So why is the hair of the men so short, and why the little ponytail? So then, Madhav Maharaj said, it's a transcendental aerial. So first she started laughing, but then Gurudev said, this is like a transcendental aerial. You know, like an antenna? Because by this sikha, we can hear the transcendental words from the spiritual world, just like an antenna has some power to catch words. So then she said to Madhav Maharaj, oh, so you were serious. At first I thought you were making fun of me when you said it was a transcendental aerial. So it has that power to capture transcendental words and keep them in the heart. So when she said, first I thought you were making fun of me, Gurudev said, no, what we are telling is true. It catches the sound. Just like an aerial catches sound, this sikha catches transcendental words. It is true to the highest extent. Okay. Then Gurudev said, you know that the lines in our hands indicate something, you know, palmistry. And then she says, yes, I wrote an article about palmistry and I had my palms read. So Gurudev said, so these lines are true. And this fact about the antenna catching transcendental words, which we are presenting now, is more true than that, even. Okay, so that's what Gurudev said at that particular time. Now we're going to folio, to Srila Prabhupada's statements. This is from a lecture on the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, the dress is also required. You should always be equipped with tilak, kuntimala, and sikha. Then, as soon as the common man sees, oh, there's a Hare Krishna man, Hare Krishna, who chant. Automatically, you give them a chance. So this is required. The foolish rascals, they say, what is the necessity of this and that? So Prabhupada said, no, this is necessity. You must always remain dressed like a Vaishnava. That is necessity. Otherwise, how will people become impressed by who you are? Immediately, they become so pious just by looking at you. And they chant Hare Krishna. Then the next... I see. Come with this. Then... Gurudev has somebody read out loud from Prabhupada's book. In other words, impersonalists cannot have faith in the Supreme Lord, and they prefer to merge in the impersonal Brahman effulgence. He's talking about Lord Chaitanya. Though under these circumstances, in the Srimad Bhagavatam we do not find mention of Ekadanda Sannyas. This Tridandi Sannyas is accepted, therefore, as standard. Lord Chaitanya accepts Srimad Bhagavatam as the supreme authority. Under these circumstances, person who accepts Lord Chaitanya's as an Ekadandi Sannyas is mistaken. So following in the footsteps of Chaitanya, still, the Tridandi Sannyasis are in existence. Keeping sacred thread and sikha intact, distinct from the Mayavadi Sannyasis, who give the sacred thread and sika, they have no inclination to render, they don't have a sika, the Mayavadis. Okay, and Vaishnava means Krishna Tattvaveta. If he's not well versed in the science of Krishna, so that means he's not a Vaishnava. So everybody must read all these books. Anybody who's initiated or wants to be initiated must absolutely positively read Gurudev's and Prabhupada's books every day for 1 hour. If anybody wants to be initiated, and especially if anyone wants second initiation, you might find that Yadunath Prabhu asks you, are you reading Gurudev's and Prabhupada's books every day for 1 hour? Prabhupada said, there is so much time, you must find time. So if he's not well versed in the science of Krishna, because we all have to preach, so we have to know the philosophy, and we also have to preach to our own minds, so we have to know the philosophy. If his behavior is not Vaishnava, Sadachar Sampanna, he has to have the behavior of Vaishnava in terms of his beautiful dealings with others, and he must have Tilak in 12 places, Dvadasa Tilak, not only in the front but in 12 places, to purify our existence every day. He must have Sika if he's a man, and Kunti Mala. And there are many things. This is called Sadachar Sampanna. This is a Vaishnava, it's not just some external ritualistic thing. Then, there are three kinds of Vaishnava: Kanistha, Madhyama, and Uttama, or third class, second class, and first class. Uttama Adhikari may be without the Kunti Mala, or without Sika, or without Vaishnava symptoms, because he's a Paramahamsa. Like Lord Nityananda, he would sometimes be naked and jump into the lap of Shivas Thakur's wife, Malini, and drink her breast milk, because he's in the mood of Balaram, the coward boy. But when he comes to the preaching platform, he must be a Madhyama Adhikari, because he has to teach. He cannot deviate from the teaching principles. So what you are speaking, that without Sika, without Kunti, one cannot become a guru or a preacher or anything like that. So preacher must behave nicely. I'm reading all this because I wanted to ask those who don't have Sika to have Sika, but without evidence you can't tell anybody anything. That's it for the seeker. One last one. Some guest asked if the haircut has a particular significance, and Brahmananda said the shaving of the head is a sign of surrender to the spiritual master, and we leave the shika. So Prabhupada said, and keep the head light instead of unnecessarily burdened. In Kali Yuga, there's a symptom. It is stated, Lavanya Kesha Dharanam. In the Kali Yuga, people will think that by keeping long hairs, he has become very beautiful. That's about it. Prabhupada says one more thing. Oh no. Okay. That's about it. Any questions so far? Any questions or confusions or doubts? One more thing Prabhupada says. Better go and speak philosophy in your grihastha dress, not this dress. But you have nice coat, pants, and gentlemen. Who says no? I never said that. I think the devotees were saying that when you go out preaching, you absolutely have to wear, you have to be like a sannyasi, but the sannyasis were falling down. So Prabhupada said, better to remain as a grihastha rather than take a position that one can't maintain and then he falls down. Better to be a grihastha with nice coat, pants, gentlemen. Rather, I shall be glad to see that up-to-date gentlemen with tilak and sika are speaking and giving classes and speaking to the public. That is very prestigious everywhere. Okay. So, no questions or comments on this? Any disagreements or ifs, ands, or buts? He said also, the children, teach them nicely English and Sanskrit, and our books are there, and regular habits, timely getting up in the morning, attending class, clean dress, clean bedding, clean room, and sika. Even Krishna had a sika when he was learning at the ashram of Sandipani Muni.
Did you discuss already about the habit in Chandra?
The habit?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was both. I'd like to hear everybody share your experience with Yadunath Prabhu. Like today's chanting versus yesterday's and the day before and the day before's chanting. Is there anybody who would like to share?
Huh? You chant together?
Yeah, we all chanted together.
Yeah,
for 45 minutes.
Chaitanya
wants to say something?
Yes.
Okay, kasi yung matindigan tulad sa labas, marami.
He says it's better experience because when you're outside, you look around and there's a lot of things that disrupt you.
Yeah, like the roosters and dogs.
And the neighbors.
Anybody else want to share something?
Yeah, you could like a chant for rounds rather than just talking with each other.
Anyone else?
Sometimes the devotee chant and then talking to others.
So what's your experience?
I mean,
of today.
One round finished, only one round. Then continue chanting. Chanting 108 rounds. 108 pairs.
Each
straight. They continue, not speak to others.
Good, so they had a good time.
Prabhu. Pag nag-chan-chan ka, di ba mapupurify mo na lang ang conscious? Kung mausubot siya kay mga living identity sa paligid mo, mapupurify.
She said that when you're chanting, you can purify the person you're talking.
You're around you. When you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the people around you get purified.
By your glance.
Yeah.
No, it's good to chant also walking to purify the neighborhood. But,
I think we have to make differentiate between the Harinam. The Harinam is the one he's talking about, but the Japa thing is different.
Right. Unless you're chanting very loud, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, for the benefit of others, then yes, then they can hear. Okay. Now we're going to answer the question of the year. Gaurangi asked this question, and why did Krishna create us in this way with independence? We're so tiny and insignificant that we're bound to make the wrong choice. So why did Krishna do that? Why didn't he just create us in such a way that we would just make the right choice and go back to Godhead? Why did Krishna create us with an option to suffer like this? So this is this question was asked and answered by by Brajanath. The question was asked by Brajanath and answered by his spiritual master, whose name is, what is his spiritual master's name? Was it Raghunath? It's probably Raghunath Das Babaji. Not Raghunath Das Goswami, but Raghunath Das Babaji. So Prabhu, I understand, this is a few questions and answers, asked one after another. I understand that this marginal position is at the junction of the spiritual and material worlds where the jiva is created. Why is it that some jivas go from there, the marginal position where they're created, to the material world, while others go to the spiritual world? So Babaji says, Krishna's qualities are also present in the jivas, but only to a minute quantity. Krishna is supremely independent, so the desire to be independent is eternally present in the jivas as well. When the jiva uses his independence correctly, he remains disposed towards Krishna, but when he misuses it, he becomes opposed to him. It is just this opposition that gives rise to the desire in the jiva to enjoy Maya. Because of the desire to enjoy Maya, he develops the false ego that he can enjoy material sense gratification. And then the five types of ignorance. Number one, forgetfulness of one's constitutional position. Two, due to anger and envy. Two, considering death to be the ultimate end. Three, not knowing anything about the spirit soul. Four, the illusion of the bodily concept. And five, madness for material enjoyment. That covers his pure atomic nature. Our liberation or subjugation simply depends on whether we use our minute independence properly or misuse it. So then Brajanath asks, Krishna is the embodiment of mercy. So why did he make the jiva so weak that he would become entangled in Maya? So Babaji says, it is true that Krishna is overflowing with mercy. However, he is also overflowing with desire to perform pastimes. Desiring different pastimes to be enacted in different situations, Krishna trains the jiva to be capable in all conditions, from the marginal state to the highest state of Mahabhav. And to facilitate the jiva's progressing practically and steadily towards becoming qualified for Krishna's service, he has also created the lower levels of material existence, beginning from the lowest inert matter up to false ego. which is the cause of so much obstruction in obtaining the supreme bliss. Having fallen from their constitutional position, the jivas who are entangled in Maya are opposed to Krishna and engrossed in personal sense gratification. Shivananda drinks something. However, Sri Krishna, you were supposed to laugh. However, Sri Krishna is the reservoir of mercy. Thus, no matter how low the jiva has fallen, Krishna will still provide him with full facility to attain the highest spiritual position. He brings this about by appearing before him along with his spiritual abode and his eternal associates. Those jivas who take advantage of this merciful opportunity and sincerely endeavor to attain the higher position gradually reach the spiritual world and attain the state similar to Krishna's associates. Then Vrajanath asks, but for the sake of his pastimes, why must we suffer? So then Babaji answers, the jivas possess some independence. This is actually a sign of Bhagavan's special mercy upon them. Inert objects, like this box and this computer, are very insignificant and worthless because they have no such desire for independence. Only because of the jiva's independent nature does he think himself the master of the world. Misery and happiness are just conditions of the mind. Thus, what one may consider misery is happiness for one engrossed in it, like the pig is engrossed in eating stools and he's very happy, and we think it's gross. Since all varieties of material sense gratification finally result in nothing but misery, a materialistic person only achieves suffering. When that's like pigeons like to eat vomit. So I was once on a morning walk with Prabhupada, and there was a pigeon in the street in Boston, and he was eating vomit. So Prabhupada said, stop there, right at the pigeon. And he said, this material world has something for everybody, for all the living entities. But we who are humans, we have to discriminate what we eat. So we discriminate and we only eat Krishna prasadam. In fact, Gurudev made a very heavy statement once. He said, if you're drinking water that hasn't been offered to Krishna, it's just like drinking urine. Isn't that heavy? So when the suffering becomes excessive, it gives rise to a search for happiness. From that desire, discrimination arises, and from discrimination, a research into the nature of the ultimate reality is born. As a result of this research, one attains satsanga, the association of saintly persons, whereupon faith or shraddha develops. When shraddha is born, the jiva ascends to a higher stage, namely the path of bhakti. So misery is important to bring us to a search for real happiness, because we find that all of our material activities looking for happiness result in misery, and then we start looking for real happiness. So gold, so that's one reason Krishna gives us misery. Gold, this is a very interesting analogy, and I hope everybody's listening, because I'm going to call on somebody to repeat it. Gold is purified by heating and hammering. You know gold?
Yeah.
You have to heat it. The rock contains the gold. So you have to heat it and hammer it. So being opposed to Krishna, the jiva is impure through engaging in mundane sense gratification. Therefore, he must be purified by being beaten with the hammers of misery on the anvil, I guess the platform of this material world. By this process, the misery of the jivas opposed to Krishna finally culminates in happiness. So anytime you're suffering, just think, okay, the gold is coming. Suffering is therefore just a sign of Bhagavan's mercy. That is why intelligent persons see the suffering of jiva in Krishna's pastimes as auspicious. Because really the soul isn't suffering at all. Is Vasanti here? It's very interesting. We made this comic book of Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. And I don't know if any of you have ever read comic books, but they have one page, which is like a newspaper article. But it's a made-up newspaper article by the comic people. So we made this one page in the comic, which was like a newspaper. But we had Prabhupada's quote about the living entity's suffering just being illusion as the statement in the paper. And what it is that the teacher is teaching in class, and one kid, one of the children, the students, he is restless, so he wants to goof around, so he starts throwing rubber bands. You know how you shoot rubber bands? Shooting rubber bands or whatever at the other students. So the teacher said, if you don't stop your nonsense, I'm going to cut your head off and hang it on the wall, and you'll be able to see your head hanging there. So the student gets really afraid, okay, I'll behave. But the thing is, if he could see his head hanging on the wall, it means he must have another head. So that's just scare of the mind. So any suffering or happiness we experience in this world is just the illusion of the mind. It doesn't really exist. So when Krishna gives sufferings as part of his pastimes, it's really auspicious. Though a foolish person can only see it as an inauspicious source of misery. Then Rajanas asks, the jiva's suffering in his conditioned state is ultimately auspicious, but in the present state, it's very painful. So since Krishna is omnipotent, couldn't he think of a path less troublesome? So Babaji replies, this is one of Krishna's pastimes, which are variegated and wonderful. Since Bhagavan is independent and almighty and performs all kinds of pastimes, why should this be the only pastime that he doesn't have? No pastime can be rejected if there's to be full variety. Besides, the participant of the other types of pastimes also must accept some kind of suffering. Krishna is the enjoyer and the active agent. All ingredients and paraphernalia are controlled by his desire. Like, for example, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan to go to Dwarka, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they suffer. Like the bumblebees even faint and roll around on the floor. So they also have suffering, but their suffering has Krishna in the center, and therefore their suffering is ecstasy. But we are not interested in Krishna, and that's why we're interested in ourselves as the center, and that's why our suffering is as it is. It is natural to experience some suffering when one is controlled by the desire of another. However, if that suffering brings pleasure in the end, it is not true suffering. How can you call it suffering? So-called suffering that one undergoes in order to nourish and support Krishna's pastimes is actually a source of delight. That's why the suffering of the Brijvasis, when Indra throws down the torrents of rain, or the Agasura demon come, everybody's suffering, but it's all in relation to Krishna. So it gives the highest happiness. That's the difference between the spiritual world and here. There, Krishna is the center, and here, I am the center. The so-called suffering one undergoes in order to nourish and support Krishna's pastimes is actually a source of delight. The jiva's desire for independence has caused him to abandon the pleasure of serving Krishna and instead accept suffering in Maya. This is the jiva's fault, not Krishna's. Then Brajanath asks, what harm would there have been if the jiva had not been given the desire for independence? What harm? Krishna is omniscient, and he gave this independence to the jivas, even though he knew they would suffer on account of it. So isn't he responsible for the jivas' suffering? So Babaji replies, independence is a precious jewel, in the absence of which inert objects, that's what makes us living and this table inert, because we have independence and the desire for independence. Otherwise, inert objects are insignificant and worthless. If the jiva had not received independence, he would also have been as insignificant and worthless as a material object. The jiva is an atomic spiritual entity, so he must certainly have all the qualities of spiritual objects. The only difference is that Bhagavan, who is the complete spiritual object, possesses all these qualities in full, whereas the jiva only has them in minute degree. Independence has a distinctive quality of the spiritual object, and an object's inherent quality cannot be separated from the object itself. Consequently, the jiva also has this quality of independence, but only to a very minute degree because he's atomic. It is only because of this independence that the jiva is the supreme object in the material world and the lord of creation. And then it goes on. Does that answer the question? There's more, but it's getting late. But does that answer the question? So everybody should read this chapter 16 of Jiva Dharma, the Jiva and Maya, and read all the wonderful things that I didn't read yet. Any questions or comments?
The jivas are marginal. So, and they attain Krishna Bhakti, they enter into the spiritual world. Does they lose their marginal position, or they become, they are transferred into internal potency of the Lord?
When the jiva takes shelter of the chit or spiritual potency, he's still the living entity, but he becomes like the iron rod. When saturated with the fire, it develops the qualities of the fire. So it no longer ever has any idea to make the choice to be separate from Krishna. He's eternally the jiva, but he loses that quality of having that tendency to ever turn away from Krishna. So then he's not called a jiva anymore, he's called an associate of the Lord. He has too much knowledge. He becomes Satchitananda in his spiritual body. So his body has too much knowledge and bliss to ever think of anything else.
Are the jivas created? Are the jivas created? Since the question is, why the jivas are created, those are there.
Using, the answer is already given.
But the question is, are the jivas created?
Okay, that's the question. Sunlight is created by the sun and is subordinate to the sun, but yet it has no beginning, right? The sunlight is the creation of the sun, but it has no beginning. The words creation, beginning, when, forgetful, these are all words in language that really can't be understood by our, it's a material language, and it can't be understood by our material minds or senses. When did we fall? How did we forget Krishna? If we never knew him, how could we forget him? Because forget means I knew something and then I forgot it. So, therefore, this is called Chandrasaka Nyai, or the logic of the moon on the branch. Some child asks his father, "Father, where is the moon?" "Oh, it's up there, see? It's sitting on the branch of the tree, can you see it?" The moon is not really sitting on the branch of the tree. It's even further away than the sun. But just to give an indication. So these words are used, but we can't really grasp the meaning of the words unless we do bhajan and develop our transcendental senses and mind. So we're created because we're subordinate, and we come from the Lord, but we have no time that we, when we began. We're eternal. Gurudev told me that as long as you think you're a lady or a lad, you'll never understand this. Therefore, we have to do it with our material intelligence. Does that sort of answer your question? Mukunda Prabhu?
How to avoid Shraddha and Asakti and love of God?
How to what?
How to avoid Panu attain.
How to attain Shraddha.
How to attain Shraddha?
Shraddha and Asakti.
And Asakti? How to go through the stages of Shraddha, Anartha Nivritti, Bhajana Kriya, engaging. Well, Shraddha means what? What does Shraddha mean?
Faith.
Faith. What kind of faith? Faith that if I simply water the root of the tree, then all the branches and leaves and flowers are automatically watered. If I try to water the leaves and branches and flowers separately, they'll probably get moldy. So, also if I try to serve others without serving Krishna, then I'm just helping them to their death and next hellish lives, like a moldy flower. But if I serve Krishna, then automatically the leaves and branches are watered. Leaves and branches, all the living entities and all situations are nourished. So that faith that if I simply serve Krishna, then all subsidiary activities are also taken care of. I don't have to do anything else. This is the meaning of Shraddha. So then in Sadhu Sangha, Ado Shraddha Tito Sadhu Sangha. In Sadhu Sangha, I do Bhajana Kriya. I engage in all the limbs of devotional service. There are 64 limbs of devotional service described in the Nectar of Devotion and also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. They tell all about the different activities like wearing tilak, tending Mangal Arati, preaching, distributing books, reading books, taking prasadam, not bhoga, and then all the rules and regulations of being clean while preparing prasadam. If I put my hand in a dirty place, then I have to wash first. Like for example, you're all, some of you are going now to cook, right? You've all had your hands on the floor, or hands on the feet, or hands on the songbook, which was on the floor, where other people walked. So before cooking or doing anything clean, we wash our hands very well, like that. So there's so many rules and regulations. And then gradually we come to anartha nivritti, where our anarthas gradually go away by practicing the good sadhachar behavior and rules and regulations, and sharing mercy with others, which I've just remembered I wanted to mention, that here, Yadunath Prabhu has a whole room full of books. But in the past, he's given books to devotees to sell, and then the devotees never came back with any money. So some cost has to be met. So this time, if anybody wants books, if you could somehow or other gather the cost price, which is very small, tell me if I'm right or wrong, then you can keep the profits when you sell books. Gurudev also said you can keep the profits for going here and there, spiritual going here and there, not for going to the movies or anything. But if you have to go to the movies, even though you'll suffer by going to the movies, if you have to go to the movies, make your money by selling books rather than something else. So we have a whole warehouse. And Gurudev, your Gurudev, spends half his life writing, translating, and editing his books. So we read and we distribute and we feel so much mercy coming from Gurudev and Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara and Rupa Goswami. And gradually we come to asakti, which is attachment. Just like a boy and girl are attached to each other without any rhyme or reason, just by a glance they've become attached. So gradually by following all the principles we come to asakti, which is the platform of spontaneous attachment. Outside, oh, I know I should be attached to Krishna because I'm a living entity and I'm part and parcel of Krishna. It goes outside that and just spontaneous attraction and affection and greed for his association. Then coming to Bhava Bhakti, next time I come, if Krishna lets me come, we'll talk elaborately about all the different stages and how to get from the beginning to the end. But Yadunathprabhu can also give classes on that. And Gaurangi. Gaurangi, who will also give classes. Yes.
What is the difference attachment and detachment?
Difference of detachment and attachment.
Detachment means you're not attached, and attachment means you are attached. But there's a difference between love and attachment. Gurudev said, I'm not attached to any of my disciples. So then he said that in his class in Badger. So then I raised my hand at the end, knowing that the devotees would be very unhappy to hear that Gurudev's not attached to them. So I said, what do you mean you're not attached? We know you've said so many times how much affection you have for your disciples. So he said, affection is different from attachment. Affection means for the other one, for their upliftment, and attachment means for my sense gratification. Got it? Is that clear?
Because we have six senses, six senses. So why the give us too much attached in material object?
Okay, here's my hand. See? See, it's in the light. Now I'm turning away from the light, right? So my hand's in the light, right? I'm turning away from the light. What's happening to my hand? Huh? What's happening to the palm of my hand as it turns away from the light? Huh? It's moving away from the light. What's happening to it? Here, it's lit. See how lit up my hand is? Can you see my hand is all lit up and sparkly? Okay, now I'm turning away from the light. What's happening to the palm of my hand? The palm. Huh? The palm of my hand is the same?
There's no light.
The palm of my hand is the same? Look at it.
It's darker than the
light. It's darker, very good. So, as soon as I turn away from the light, I'm in the darkness. As soon as I turn away from Krishna, Maya grabs me and makes me attached to matter. If I want to be free from matter, I turn towards Krishna. There's only two things that we have to know, Prabhupada said. What is Krishna and what is Maya? If I know what is Krishna, then immediately I can be free from Maya. If I surrender to Krishna, then I can be free from Maya. Surrender through the Guru. So I hope that, because you'll be coming here, I hope, on Sunday morning, early morning, and helping prepare for the Sunday noon festival. And then the rest of the week you can get together in groups and meet together. If you're absolutely too far, then meet with yourself and do the programs. But if you're close enough to each other, then if you could get together and do the arati and the bhajans, and if
you can't give class, then you can just read aloud to each other. This will give you a lot of strength. A lot. Any last, very last question? Garangi, is your question answered?
About the Sika, because before we heard a story from a Hindu priest that when you have a Sika, when you die, you have the chance to be birthed in human form again. Or even though sometimes you have a Sika and you do these sins although you're practicing, is it possible that you have a lower form of birth?
If you're wearing a sika but you're not following Krishna consciousness, you can become an animal in your next life. Because sika is meant for catching transcendental sounds. But if you're not catching the sounds with it, then what's the use? It's just extra hair.
Yes, our neighbors, they imitated our hair. They're taking drugs.
Yeah.
There's some neighbor here, they're imitating our hair. They also see the other branch. So, what would be the difference?
If they're imitating the Sika because they're. Why are they imitating it?
They saw the devotees.
Huh?
They saw the devotees.
Are they any appreciation that anybody has for the devotees? It makes them think of Krishna. They get some Sukritis for that. Like Prabhupada said, if a rich man has a diamond ring and it shimmers, and that shimmer makes him remember Krishna and how effulgent Krishna is, he gets some Sukritis for that. So he's getting Sukritis, but that doesn't mean that they don't suffer from all their sins, but they're getting Sukritis. So after so many years or lives or millenniums of Sukritis building up, then one gets a bona fide guru. One meets a bona fide guru. Is that satisfactory? Or yeah? Was yours a question or an answer?
Well, they also get the sound.
Oh.
they also have the antenna. So they also get the transcendental sound vibration behaving sikhas.
Well, they're getting it from your kirtans. That's why it's nice to chant loudly in the streets. But I can't answer that question very good, except that if they're doing it out of appreciation, they say, oh, this is the Hare Krishnas, let me have a Hare Krishna haircut, then some Sukriti comes from that. But for that question, do they get the sounds more? You could ask Gurudev. Well, Gurudev said women already have a soft heart, so they just have to cook and weep for Krishna.
But we don't have the antenna.
Let's ask Gurudev. I'll tell Gurudev that was a question that I couldn't answer. I mean, I'll write to Brajanath and ask him to ask Madhav Maharaj. And we can do it as soon as the class is over and see if Brajanath is there. He's 2 hours later, so maybe he'll answer today before we leave.
Yeah.
Because one time Gurudev was talking about sannyas. Every year in Navadvip he talks about sannyas because he makes sannyas. Sannyasis at that time. So he was asking, he called the senior devotees and he said, so I'm thinking of giving so-and-so sannyas, what do you think? And then I asked, well, what about the ladies? How are they? Because he said, if somebody's sannyasi, he gets the gopi mantra. So sannyas mantra is a mantra for becoming gopi. So I said, well, then how can the ladies ever get, what's hope for us since we don't get the gopi mantra of the sannyas? He said, you have so many gopi mantras already. So many songs and mantras that we have, the Lapkus Manjali, they're all gopi mantras. Just like we don't get, the ladies don't get the Brahma Gayatri Mantra, because it makes the ladies' heart hard. So sometimes when ladies ask Gurudev, how come we don't get that? We think, you know, we're missing out. So Gurudev said, why do you want to go back there? After lakhs of years of chanting Brahma Gayatri, it becomes the Kam Gayatri, which you already have. So let's ask about this. It's a good question. And just one little cleanliness rule. For anyone who's cooking for the deity, this nail should be very short. And we shouldn't put our nails in water or in water. If you're throwing the water from the conch shell at Arati, then you can pour water on your hand and then throw it, rather than dipping the hands and the nails in. Especially when the water is going to the Thakurji, the Achman water.
Oh, I think this was practice in Islam to dip the nail and sprinkle it, because previously what the devotees do is they put the water in the palm and splash it on the face of the devotees. So devotees freaks out, because like very early in the morning you're very trying to meditate and Radha Krishna,
and somebody splashes on your face.
Water on your face. So what they try to make is that to dip the finger in your on the water and sprinkle it on the head of the devotee.
Yeah. Can it be done with just pouring a little bit and then sprinkling that on the head?
I think it should be done like that little bit with the body.
Yeah.
Not splashing on the face.
From behind and on top.
Sometimes the pujari would make like, it's just like intentionally doing it. The basis.
Okay, I guess we'll end here. We have to end somewhere, don't we? Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Philippine Yatra Ki Jai. Panchiko Bhattu Vyasta Kudasana Devi Tapa Vyasta Kudasana Devi Tapa Vyasta
Kudasana. Gaurangi is asking an extension question. He's saying that is that true that when the devotees, I think there's a painting, I don't know if you know who painted that, there's a devotee floating in the ocean, and it's like Lord Vishnu is riding in the back of Garuda and pulling up the devotee in the ocean.
Oh, that's right. Prabhupada said that Krishna can pull you out from the ocean of material existence by the Sika. So yeah, we'll ask about the ladies. Another thing that Prabhupada said was that the Sika is like a flag. If one country is going to conquer another country, and it puts its flag there to show that this is our country. So this is Krishna's flag to show that we belong to Krishna. Oh, can I ask for two volunteers for something? One volunteer to shine all of the cartels and gongs after Prashadam or before Prashadam. If you just go downstairs, you can get a whole lot of and have you be sampled by anybody, just go like this, and underneath is